You're listening to Transponder, a podcast about two transitioning adults after 2 years of transition, and they talk about transition and other people's transitions. Cool. Alright, okay, alright, here we go. Harley, I'm Regina, stealing hearts like a criminal. Super sexy transitors.
They're really smart and strong, they've got an audio blog.
Thank God the theme song isn't that long.
Go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go, go Mila, go, go, go Gina, go, go.
Okay, so we are here at Las Vegas at the Sahara
for the Portable New Media Expo.
Podcasting Expo.
Formerly known as, a.k.a. And we are here with our wonderful and faithful listener, Brenda.
Yes, I am Brenda the Groupie. Hi, everybody.
You may recognize Brenda's voice from previous voicemail.
I was the first on the Transponderversary.
The Transponderversary.
Nice.
That is totally awesome. Transponderversary, we have been on the
like
air.
5 points of transcred.
Yeah. Only five? Oh, damn it. I wanted more.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of transcred.
Okay.
I mean, most people only have like
1 or 2 points.
I didn't
know the exchange rate. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not like dollars.
It's a it's a proprietary system that is dictated by us. So,
okay,
know.
Good.
When once you get like 10,000 points, you get the transponder jacket.
The transponder mug.
See, I've already got 2 buttons, so that's cool enough. All right.
Oh.
I am
overwhelmed. We have to make sure we give you more buttons, too, so you can take back with you.
Oh, so you
said you wanted
some buttons
for
on
Sophia,
your
transponder.
Well,
so.
Actually, one of my buttons is hanging prominently in my office, so if anybody walks in, they see the transponder. Most of my friends at work already know.
Do they listen?
No.
But everybody's really wondering why you're into technical, like, really high-tech devices.
That's right. Transponders are just so cool.
Like, why are you interested in, like, relaying, you know, audio signal? It just doesn't,
that's right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, especially with two hot-looking women on the button, you know. They just don't understand that.
Yeah, they don't understand. Like, I mean, how did women get to be engineers anyway? Right?
And then my other button is on the black hat of a lesbian friend of mine that says, "Yes, I am." And then there's a transponder button on there next to it.
Yes, I am a transponder.
Nice.
Yeah.
That,
well,
you know, that was
actually,
a,
yes, I am a lesbian.
That was also on the license plate of one of the guys outside of Microsoft, the gay guy that committed suicide. His license plate is, "Yes, I am."
Oh, that's really a comforting story, Jaina.
The fact that he committed suicide is sad, but
yeah, it's very sad.
But, you know, Microsoft, though, is one of those companies that is at least really friendly.
Well, he was one of the ones that started. I don't know that he was really actively involved in the company anymore, like, for some time. But, you know, he probably made his millions and,
I mean, it's probably more trans-friendly than maybe, I don't know, TLC.
Bigger corporations tend to be pretty good sized.
Holy smokes! I'm looking at the menu for the in-room soups and salads. They want $15 for a salad.
What kind of salad?
Well, it's room service.
Greek salad.
It's room service.
Yeah, that's insane.
So, Brenda, you came all the way to Las Vegas just to meet us. This is amazing.
Oh, you have no idea. I actually worked my work schedule around be here for the whole month just so I can catch you guys for these couple days.
Right. No, actually, Brenda was just here because her work schedule happened to have her here during the podcast and expo.
It was so fortuitous for
us to get to see you.
It was so cool when you guys started talking about being here at the Portable New Media Exposition. I got that right?
Yeah.
And when you put that in there that you're going to be in Las Vegas, like, hey, I'm going to be in Las Vegas too.
That is awesome.
It was fun.
I think there's probably more people who are mingling about and maybe just not letting us know.
And Brenda looks fantastic.
Yeah, Definitely, and you're going to come stalk us in California too, right?
Oh,
and
you know, I'm such a stalker.
Right, and you didn't start to transition until your 40s. So
I started transitioning at the age of 41.
So there you go.
I mean, the divorce was final a week before my birthday, and probably about 2 weeks after my birthday. I was like, okay. Actually, you know, one of the things that some of you know, maybe...
There's no age that's too late.
But as a Christian, I always fought it. I always thought it was like this thing that, no,
well, I'm pretty young.
Like a sin. But after the divorce, I fell on my face in front of God and said, okay, God, it's yours. There is nothing I can do with this. I know I can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I said that, it's almost like, you know, this kind of gets mystical and all. It was almost like God saying, it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you need to do. Be who I made you to be.
Well, this is really interesting because we have a lot of listeners who are Christian
mm-hmm.
and are trying to reconcile their faith with being transgender. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about your experiences with being Christian and being transgender?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home. I accepted Christ as my Savior very, very early on. I always have looked to God for guidance, for support, for, you know, I know a lot of the portions of the Bible backwards and forwards, but there was always this disconnect. Knowing who I was as trans and knowing that I was also committed to God, which for those of us who were raised in the church, that is such a disconnect.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you go to Scripture, though. You go exactly where the church really tells you to go, especially if you're evangelical. And they told you to go to the Bible and look at things. Well, you go to the Bible and look at things and, like, it doesn't say what they say it says.
Right.
Actually, the Bible doesn't have contradictions. Contradictions come from the way the Bible's interpreted,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, at least. And so I've seen a lot of really screwed up interpretation that's used to bash a lot of people.
Well, if you take it literally, there's the one thing that you said, California mentioned that...
Living Biblical is a book that was
bad,
and just talking about the difficulties of taking the Bible word for word and literally interpreting it to the point where you're going to live your life exactly as the words state that you should becomes almost impossible in our modern
impossible
day.
In any day.
Right.
Christ said that it was impossible to follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much, you know, already out there. Nothing new there. There is no way that we can take this thing and follow it literally. And even those literalists don't follow it literally.
Right.
They pick and choose what they want to be literal. Yeah, it's total cherry picking. What they want to be literal and what they want to be kind of figurative or prophetic
right.
or allegory. I mean, take the most sexual book in the Bible, the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. There are descriptions of oral sex in the book between the lover and the loved one. Lover being the male, loved one being the female. And guess what? It's pretty obvious. And so what does the church do? Oh, that's all figurative. So they'll pick what they want. And so you really have to watch out with the church because the church has co-opted God.
So why don't you talk about the
dogma
versus... What is the difference between the church as an institution and the religious views as like a personal interpretation?
I think there's a huge difference between faith and religion, between faith and dogma, as you say.
Yeah. Faith is personal, so...
Faith is personal, and faith transcends. And you guys stop that, okay? They are such a loving couple here. I have to tell you guys. But, okay, I will have to fill in this because they are too busy. Basically, you know, my faith is not about a religious belief. It's not about following what some church tells me I'm supposed to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's from having a faith in a God that the Bible presents. And I think the Bible, you know, if you truly believe in a God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all of these things, this God is able to take care of himself. He doesn't need a church to defend his honor, so to speak. So I think so often the church takes on the role of being God for people, and that's just totally wrong.
Well, okay, here's my breakdown of just God is goodness in general. Okay, be good to yourself. Be good to those you love. Be good member of your community.
See, the way Christ put it is very similar.
Right.
Except it starts out with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, loving God means loving everything God's created.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second thing it says is love your neighbor as yourself, or as much as you love yourself. So you're supposed to love yourself.
Right.
You're supposed to do good to yourself. You're supposed to do good to others. Period. So it really does not have much of a conflict with what you just said.
Right.
So here's a question when we think about the statement of love yourself. So someone who is trans and like knows that they're trans and yet is not transitioning because of, you know, self-hatred or loathing, wouldn't you say in effect that it would hinder their ability to be able to love other people because they are not loving themselves?
All I can speak from is personal experience, and yes. From my personal experience, it totally hindered my ability to
personal
love
experience
others.
Is all we have.
I know,
to base things,
I know.
Base
our, for me to apply it to everybody else, to do some kind of universal application, puts me in the same place as those religious Pharisees who are out there becoming God for everybody.
Right, and this is why we've said, like, transition is what's right for you at your pace, and we've not tried to, you know.
So talk about your personal transition. Tell us your personal experience.
Remember, this show's about transitions and other people's transitions.
Yes, we have to go with the theme song lyrics.
All right.
Here.
Okay.
Go, 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 Mila. Go, go. No.
Go, 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 Brenda.
It's so catchy. But, okay, going into my transition, I've known from as long as I can remember that I was a girl. I fought it, and I pushed it down inside my whole life. Also, though, I was honest about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I told my parents when I was fairly young, when I was before I was married to the woman that I married for nearly 15 years, before we even started dating seriously, I told her that I had always identified as a girl. I always wanted to be a girl, and that was part of who I was. And, you know, if she wanted that, she could be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she accepted that. Well, after 15 years of a relationship that steadily declined, three children, three beautiful, wonderful children, she chose to divorce me. After that, I actually got on my face before God because, you know, I really had a problem with divorce from the way the church teaches it.
Right, you felt like was wrong because we made this promise to God. And
yeah. And you feel like such a failure.
Right.
And I was in front of God saying, okay, God, I can't handle this anymore. This whole transsexual thing that I've dealt with my whole life, this whole being a female, not even transsexual thing, but being a female that I fought with my whole life, God, it's yours. Whatever you want to do with it, you can do with it. I cannot be in control anymore in my life. And it's almost like he was waiting for me to say that. Because the answer I got was not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
The answer I got was, okay, thanks, daughter. You have finally come to this point where you're being who I created you to be. Which was one of the most awesome things, and my transition started soon after that. I mean, I started growing my hair long and just the normal things that we all do. I had never had a conflict after that point. Not a single conflict. Other than conflicts with the ex.
I find that interesting that you had, like, this spiritual, you know, approach early on, where later on I didn't start to see it as a spiritual thing. I mean, not necessarily in the Christian sense for me, but, you know.
Well, in any sense, spiritually, you know.
You know what I mean? But I started to think of it like this, you know, knowing myself and, you know, seeing it as a spiritual struggle.
But that's a spiritual journey in itself, to know yourself.
Well, what do you think about the statement, this has been spoken by, you know, from different people from different religions, in that your path in life is basically follow your bliss, right? Follow what makes you, basically makes you happy, makes you feel joy. That these are the things that, when you talk to someone who is like, for example, in the Christian faith, they say that your calling is the thing that makes you feel good, right? And that if you refuse that calling, then it creates immense pain. And I've seen this equated to transition in that when we deny transition, it causes us this immense pain. And when we actually do follow through with it, it causes you that feeling of contentment and peace and joy and bliss.
Well, it's kind of funny. If you go to biblical passages that many Christians will be totally familiar with, there's one in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. If you look at the original language, it's not saying train them up in this way that we think they should go. It's actually a more accurate transition is raise up a child according to their bent or according to the way they are made.
Mm-hmm.
Which transforms the passage to saying, okay,
basically, they should be true themselves.
Sometimes. Yes.
Yeah.
And other passages also talk about, you know, it talks about how under certain circumstances, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, the peace of God that passes all understanding is something I never understood being a transsexual Christian, being a person born with this unmatching body.
Mm-hmm.
But since starting transition, the peace goes far beyond anything I could have imagined. So I think that really aligns with Scripture, too. I mean, you look at many Scriptures, there's very little against trans. And that those that are used against trans are usually interpreted in a way that's kind of pulling them out of context,
right,
angling them, putting through the tree, through the wood chipper.
It's trying to find the result.
It's
wanting a result and trying to find something that you
can
find
to apply to. It's going to the Bible with a conclusion in mind and saying, here, I finally found something that makes this conclusion kind of work.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that when you look at the Bible as just thousands and thousands of words in combination, right? I guarantee you, if you just take random words and throw them together, you can probably make it say anything that you really want it to say.
Absolutely, totally.
Somewhere. Because somewhere somebody is going to have put a certain combination of words together that you can snag out of context and say, it's kind of like a movie review in which you take somebody to lunch and you go, how was the movie? The movie was really horrible. How was your fish? The fish was great. The movie was great, all of a sudden, is the quote, because it's taken out of context, right? Because we cut out all of that in-between stuff.
Actually, I heard a really good example from a pastor one time as he was preaching. He said, okay, somebody decided to get their guidance from Scripture. So they threw the Bible open, did a random finger, and pointed. And it came up to the passage, and Judas went out and hanged himself. So now this can't be right. So they opened up, so they closed it again, let the Bible fall open, did the random finger thing you just pointed. And it said, go and do thou likewise. It's like, oh shit, this is really a bad thing. Well, he didn't say this from the pulpit, but... And so then the next one, he says, okay, I've got to try this one more time. You know, basically using the Bible as a magic eight ball kind of thing.
Right.
And so he did it again and put his finger down and said, and that thou doest, do quickly. You know, you can make the Bible tell you to commit suicide if you want. No, but it's kind of a funny example, but...
Yeah.
If there is a God, if you truly believe in the God that the Bible presents, and I don't expect everybody to believe in that God. That is something that is a matter of personal faith.
Mm-hmm.
But if you truly believe in a God that created the universe, that cares about us because he's an all-loving God, cares about truth, cares about, you know, all this stuff, this God can take care of himself. This God doesn't need a church beating people into submission in his name.
Right.
Which I oppose.
Right.
I think one of the best arguments that I've heard on that vein is that, you know, if everything is created with a purpose in mind, right, then why would someone create transsexuals without the purpose of them transitioning being in mind? Like, why would you put someone through the pain and suffering of being trans to make them deny themselves that, you know?
See, a lot of these churches, though, first of all, they're trying to argue that we aren't created trans. To which I say, bull. I know that I've always been this way. There's nothing I can do, though, to convince a person who is cissexual.
Well, it's like...
What it's like.
You know, medical information points to that we are.
Yes,
so.
But you know, scientific evidence also points toward evolution.
Yeah.
And they won't believe a lot of that either.
And then you have my brother's response, which is that all those doctors are quacks anyway, so why should we listen to them?
Right.
How many pastors are quacks?
Me, as someone who's not had that education, knows better.
Right, yeah. Since I've never studied, you know, biology or, you know, medicine or anything like
that. But the Bible's all you need.
Right, but as we learned from from Zilla, the Zilla Fag podcast, that that there is a company that prints copies of the Bible that's actually changing verses to suit their own needs, slowly over time, adding new words, changing translations, without really even telling anybody.
And if you believe in a God that is all-powerful, all-loving, God will take care of himself. Mm-hmm. I don't need to defend what these people do or don't do with their translations. They screw it up. If I truly believe in an all-powerful God, God can take care of that. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fight with that. I have to live true to who God made me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. What did they do with prophets in the Old Testament? They usually kill them. What did they do with Jesus? The religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, went after Jesus so much that they basically convinced the Romans to put him on a cross and kill him. So what does that say about religious leaders? Enough said.
Who was it? There was some
demagogues.
There was some show that I was listening to where they were talking about, like, you know, what if aliens were to come to Earth and ask us about our greatest, you know, speakers of peace, you know? And it's like, what happened to Jesus and Martin Luther King and Gandhi? You know, we killed them. We killed them all. You know, and it just shows how I think ultimately, when someone really is true to themselves and really says something profound, that people feel threatened by that.
What does that speak, though, to the human condition? From a Christian perspective, if you look at Scripture, the Christian perspective is that the human condition is morally depraved until redeemed. And I kind of believe that. Not that morally depraved means that trans or anything like that, but morally depraved in that they choose to exert control over other people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moral issue with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That, right. Those who use religion
to judge
are generally using it to control.
Yes.
Yes. The thing is, to me, there are two major controlling influences in our world today. Fear and control. Fear leads to control.
It seems like those who use religion to teach are the ones who just get killed.
Well,
to create a better world, I suppose.
Yes.
You know what I mean? To create a more open and progressive
use their faith
world.
To free people.
Yeah.
Martin Luther teaching a religion
right.
of...
Right, that's a good... I think it's a good analogy to free.
Basically, liberation theology type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those who preach freedom are attacked and killed. Those who preach control are honored. And that's kind of sick.
Yeah,
yeah, that seems a little
if you
perverse
look at,
in a way.
It is perverse.
If you look at any modern religion, the ultimate lesson that is supposed to be learned is that you should be nice to other people, treat them respectfully, not go around killing people and, like, doing all this other stuff. But what do we
really,
actually get
what,
about
what
this?
What if God tells you to kill them, though? Just kidding.
Well, this is the thing, is that...
Like, oh, then you should do it.
Right. Then you should do it. Then you should kill them, but kill them nicely, right?
Do it in a nice way.
Kill them with kindness.
I always find it very bizarre when you have people who are very fundamentalist who say that they're following, you know, the word of their religion, and then go and judge people.
Well,
when you have things like, you know, like passages that say, don't judge, you know, do not judge other people. That's not for you to do. And yet, they very much judge.
I think of that, was that documentary about the Soldiers of Christ or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Camp.
Jesus Camp, yeah.
Where you have, like, this woman who's, like, I mean, honestly, I read her as butch lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take her at literal, you know,
out of context.
If yeah. you take it, if you take a literal just snapshot of her, I thought, wow, butch lesbian. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's you know talking about
she's how she's a lot more butch than Mila. I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
She
yeah.
didn't have tattoos, but she's so much butch.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And Mila has a crescent wrench in her purse.
I know. Mila has crescent wrench and Allen wrenches.
And right.
Metric and English, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you just look at her and you think, wow, I mean, what are you speaking against? Because are you speaking against yourself or... Well, you know what I mean?
And that whole thing where they're like, well, yeah, love other people, but go and kill our enemies, you know?
And where are you interpreting anything from and how and, yeah, and well, just where are you going with this?
Here's a common phrase that you hear Christians say that is not only non-biblical, it's anti-biblical. And that's, love the sinner, hate the sin.
Mm-hmm.
They draw that from Scripture, but I have never heard that used to really love the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's hate the sinner with the sin. And also, you get to the whole concept of sin, and that's a funny concept.
I've actually heard this, too, even recently in the Mormon church.
Well, what does the word sin mean? It's so different from evil or wickedness or anything else in Scripture.
Well, it's even varied throughout human history.
The word sin, though, in the original Greek context, means missing the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's actually the word sin in the Old English, which they used in the King James Version, was an archery term.
Mm-hmm.
It meant, you know, the degree of sin was how far you missed the bullseye. Like Robin Hood didn't sin, okay? Or whatever.
Right.
But, in the original Greek, what did it mean by missing the mark? A very, very valid interpretation of that is missing the mark of who God made you to be. If God made me to be a woman...
Isn't it a sin?
I was missing the mark of who he made me to be. Now, a lot of churches sell it as missing the mark of, quote, perfection. God, I don't think, expects perfection from us. I don't think he has given us the...
If we were perfect, wouldn't we be God?
And what was Satan's temptation to Eve in the Garden of Eden? You will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Right. So
it's like the initial judgmental binary.
That's interesting.
Well, interestingly enough, if you take it in the same argument of being something that you were not created to be, right? So here is this creature, Eve, who is being offered to become something that she was not created to become like God when she was created to be human, right?
Yes.
So, in effect, your argument of sin, the sin is not the actual eating of the fruit, but the sin is, in fact, trying to be something more than what was designed for...
See, I don't see the fruit in the Garden of Eden as being poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
I see the issue as being obedience to God or not. And Eve was disobedient. That was the sin.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I see it as a magic snake.
I think the snake was pretty cool. But that's
I would imagine so the snake having an Australian accent.
I mean, Satan, though, you know...
What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about religion.
Rebecca Nay just walked in.
Rebecca Nay from Training Rec Radio just walked into our room and is going
and
to
we
join
have a chair
us
over here.
We're talking about religion and...
What do you mean your room? This is my room, and you two are staying in it.
Whatever.
So we were just talking about what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
It's all that.
What about how religion relates to trans
highfalutin religious issues?
It's kind of deep.
I'm getting way too deep, okay?
Well, we've got an official ex-Mormon here. Or
who actually went to
official.
The...
Official. Yes.
Who actually went to the ex-gay movement, right?
The ex-Mormon gay movement.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Or is it Mormon ex-gay or ex Mormon gay.
It's ex gay gay momo. I'm cured. I'm straight now.
No, you suddenly just became straight. I don't know how you managed to do that.
No, you're bi. Okay, damn it. Don't lie.
Be okay. True to thyself.
Okay.
The truth
okay.
shall set you free.
But, no, I mean, I do think that, I mean, think that is a scriptural passage. The truth will set you free.
Yeah.
I was not free. I was in bondage, trying to live this
That's
role that
hot.
Didn't fit me.
This is what Mila had to tell her.
Stop that.
This is what Mila had to tell her mother, you know, about like.
I
like,
want to be in
know,
bondage.
This isn't my child, and, you know, I felt I couldn't tell you, and, you know, her ex just got her.
You know, it's
so wrapped up.
Yeah, it was really a tough situation. I mean, when you start thinking about being placed into a situation where there is such a, like an air of misrepresented information that's being perpetrated by other people around you, and trying to break away from that misinformation becomes very difficult the longer that information gets entrenched.
But also that information was not only just put out there, but it was overlaid on a underlying matrix or underlying pattern of the religion of your parents, made it easier to believe, I think, in some cases, until they finally broke through the lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And even after those lies were broken, it was still difficult.
Now they're Methodists.
Yeah, now they're Methodists.
Religion light.
Yeah. Well, for me, escaping from Mormonism was actually far more difficult than transitioning for
yeah.
me. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well...
Well, I live in Salt
so
Lake,
far.
So I can, I can see it, and you know, I have a stepson who is Mormon,
mm-hmm.
So you know, I understand where you're coming from.
Well, it's like in Mormonism, a very common phrase is, "I have a testimony that I know that this church is true." That's a very strong statement, mm-hmm. You know. Yet. I used to believe that with all my heart. I really believed that God had communicated to me directly that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was God's restored gospel on the earth, and that anything that came out of Salt Lake City couldn't be wrong because it was God's church.
Yeah.
And there were so many messages that came along with that that conflicted with my personal reality. It just eventually became too much.
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm crazy now.
One of the things we talked about
it's
is fear and control. And as soon as a religion starts using fear to control people, I don't think that's what God has for
they,
people.
In my view, they all do that.
Right.
Organized religion, that's
I think
why...
organized religion is all about fear and control.
Uh-huh. No argument here, sister.
But faith is not about fear and control.
There's a total difference between faith and... a structured, organized religion.
Yes.
Structured, organized religion has dogma that tells people to do
and
specific things.
I prefer
things.
Katma. I like Katma.
Katma. Explain Katma.
Well, dogs versus cats. No.
Oh, okay,
playing.
okay.
And then there's Mousma, but we don't want to get into that.
you
set up the whole Tom and Jerry and Spike.
Tom and Jerry Springer.
But Mila can't stand Worma.
No, that's right.
Don't even start with that. they're all earlier, they got these gummy worms out, and then, you know, like, gummy worms are cool, they're candy, right?
That was earthworm you ate.
That was live. That was live.
It had just been gummied.
It's like you were a frog.
Oh. And they start wriggling around like it's a real worm and coming after me like, oh, look, it's a real worm.
And you curled up in a fetal position at the head of the bed.
Right. Serious
phobia. All the tattoo power in the world.
Yes, the tattoo's just like... They were fake.
Now
from
you
her
know
heart.
Why she does not deserve remote privileges.
No, worms are my kryptonite. They are like seriously my kryptonite.
Brenda, will you concede that she does not deserve remote
no,
privileges?
No, I was Mila's greatest defender on this. I will not change my views. My dogma says that Mila deserves remote rights. I was her biggest.
Your dogma defender. Says it, but reality proved that I have them. What do you do?
Sometimes,
you gave them
it?
To me when you married me.
Okay, hold on. Where is the remote in this hotel room?
Oh, we're going for a remote.
Okay, I've got the remote now. All of Transponderland, either Rebecca or I will hold it. We will not let either of these have okay. remote privileges.
We have been stripped of remote privileges? When did this happen?
Look at this remote.
Mila?
Oh my goodness.
It's my remote. You can't have it.
Chan went for grab for the remote.
Now they both.
And she almost fumbled. It was pretty funny.
Almost.
Mila.
Yeah.
I'd call it a truce.
Hold on.
A truce. Mila. We'll work together to get remote privileges.
Oh. Forget the remote.
The remote has...
Okay.
There's
the
been
remote.
A mad grapple for the
okay,
remote.
Okay, the least butch person in the room now has it.
Me?
And she's stuffing it down her shirt. It's oh. totally in her bra now.
Okay.
Like, that would stop Mila.
Oh, yeah, put it in the bra. You know,
oh,
I'm totally going to stop
Mila. Look at how many buttons on this thing.
Okay, hold on.
That's what it's about, what, 6-7 inches? I don't know.
I got a...
Okay, so one other thing I would like to talk about,
okay.
however...
Oh, sorry about that. That was the remote...
Rebecca has placed it in the place.
All right.
Yeah.
Being trans in the Bible Belt.
Oh, my
Because you live in the Tennessee.
I live in southeast Tennessee.
What are you talking about, girl? Well,
no, I live basically... If you think they talk about the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Well... There's
well, I see that as part
buckle.
Of the Bible
There's
belt.
A buckle of the Bible belt.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like the hasp and little holes in the buckle of the Bible belt where it all holds together. And that's where I live. It is not a very easy place to live.
Are you taking off?
I'm going to let you ladies continue your deep and penetrating discussion about religion. I'm going to go put something in my mouth.
All right.
A cigarette.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well,
something more
know.
Substantial.
Okay.
A cigar?
Maybe. They say a cigar is nothing more than
Sometimes
a cigar.
A cigar is just a cigar.
Okay, thank you. I screwed that one up.
In Rebecca May's case, no.
Okay. Well, I am really just in the point of finding that out. It's very interesting being trans in Southeast Tennessee.
Well, it's interesting too because, like, we come from straight society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we're kind of like trying to find ourselves in queer community.
And it's quite a culture shock, quite a shock to your system to realize that you fit much better with these people that everybody around you has been putting down your whole life.
Right. And that you kind of like, on some, on not necessarily in full level, but on some level, you kind of like bought into it, I think. You know, I know at least I did. It's like, I felt like, well, I'm with the straight people. I'm not with them. I don't necessarily
right.
hate them, but I'm not with them.
Yeah.
I'm not part
How do you
of
reconcile
them.
That? How do you reconcile, like, you know, understanding that maybe the perceptions that were presented by the people in your community don't actually reflect your actual beliefs?
Well, I think the best example that I can give you is one that, Mila, you will certainly identify with. I have a friend who is He's basically cis hetero male. He's got a tattoo on his arm of a big cross, and it says, "Only God can judge me." I've learned the hard way.
Basically, that makes me mean everyone else shut the F up?
Yes, basically. Or if we want to use the Rebecca Nay bleeps, we could do that now.
Right.
You want me to, but I choose to use that.
So, yeah. I just said people can figure it out.
I've used that word before, though. The thing is, only God can judge somebody. I am not going to go to a person that I know and judge them because they do something that maybe I disagree with or that I think the Bible says they shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
That's so ridiculous. God's able to handle himself.
Mm-hmm.
If God chooses to talk to a person about something and convict them of something, he's certainly capable.
I think what it really says is not, this is against God, is I have a problem with it, me personally.
It's a way of controlling people that the church uses.
I'm an a-hole, you know. Right.
Yes.
People use their religious views as a weapon against other people.
To control other people, yes. It's all about me being better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about transition,
right,
about recognizing who you really are, is that, you know what? I never have to be better than anybody
I'm
else.
I'm a better person. I'm a better Christian. Let me show you how to be more like me.
Right. It's not about being like Christ at all in a lot of Christians.
Right. It's about being more like them.
Yes. And they are, if you look at like Matthew 23, for instance, that's the passage where Christ just totally goes off on the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Talks about them being cups that are clean on the outside. They look really pretty, but inside they're full of filth.
Salmonella, bacteria.
Well, no, actually,
bacteria.
The word that's used is filth.
Bacteria.
Actually,
look,
the word that's used. The word that's used is filth. There goes to another part of the body, and the part that comes out, and it basically is excrement. So, mm-hmm. Shit, whatever
right.
You want to use. But
poopy.
There also talks about them being like beautiful graves. That inside are full of dead people's bones.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that, you really don't want to identify with those people.
Mm-hmm.
I identified as conservative Christian for many years. I still identify as Christian.
Didn't you actually write a letter to... tell me if I'm out of bounds. Didn't you actually write a letter to Republican... congressmen saying, they should...
Well, I've written several letters
yeah.
to congressmen and stuff like that, basically saying that why are trans issues the sole, province of the liberals, of the Democrat Party?
Right.
Why not? Why can't conservatives basically support the values of America? I mean... There's no reason why a conservative has to be anti-trans,
mm-hmm.
anti-GLBT in any way, shape, or form.
Though, don't you see that as being part of who their backers are, as those who are anti?
As they said in Jerry Maguire. No, was it Jerry Maguire? Whatever movie it was.
I don't know.
Follow the Money.
Follow the Money, yeah.
That was a different movie. It wasn't Jerry Maguire. That was Show Me the Money. Okay, never mind.
Show me
but
the
no,
money.
But no, you have to follow the money.
That still works.
You have to follow the path of the money. And there's really no true belief out there.
Yeah.
These people aren't true believers in anything. They're true believers in power.
Right. They build up these mega churches.
From fear.
And, yeah.
Well, actually, some of the mega churches out there are actually closer to the truth than a lot of the smaller churches you find scattered throughout the South.
Mm-hmm. You can't paint them all with one brush.
Let me go with a church that's really coming to prominence over the next week. The church at Saddleback, California, where Obama and McCain are actually having a debate this weekend, or
mm-hmm.
not debate, but basically a Q&A session with the pastor of the Saddleback Church. I was sitting there, my sister goes to that church. I was sitting there on Sunday, just this past Sunday, and the pastor who was teaching, it wasn't the head pastor of the church, was actually using Matthew 23 and talking about how bad the church is, how so often we're hypocrites and how often we have the clean outside of the cup and dirty inside. Mm-hmm. And that's a church that can't quite bring itself to be GLBT friendly, but they certainly are GLBT acknowledging. And they certainly realize that they are not the sole arbiters of God's will on the planet. There's a church of, you know, several thousand. And so there are places out there where people are humble enough to admit to themselves that they don't deserve control.
Right, they shouldn't be the last word, and right.
The book that Rick Warren wrote that was a bestseller on all the lists everywhere, it's called The Purpose-Driven Life. It talks about finding your purpose in life and following that, because you're going to follow it with a passion, because it's who you are, it's who you're made to be.
Right.
They can't quite make that jump to applying that to GLBT issues, but it's so true. So, as you know, the truth is out there.
Yeah.
There are churches that acknowledge that, but there are other churches that just believe in control. So you have to watch out that you have to work out your own faith with fear and trembling, as it says in Scripture. You can't depend on somebody else to spoon-feed you your faith, because if they do, who's going to take over in any situation where they're spoon-feeding faith?
Mm.
The controllers. The people you don't want in charge.
Right.
So, and I am not advocating,
who will use it for
I need
their...
to step off my little soapbox here.
Okay. No. We really enjoy this kind of commentary because it's a view that we don't often get on the show. You know, it's like we talk to a lot of people who, you know, don't really address religious concerns, and it's very important for us to address the views of someone.
I don't think we
living in that
can
situation.
Separate religion from the human experience, and you can't really separate transgender from the human experience.
But
you know what I mean?
Tragedy.
And you can't. Yeah,
and it's something that in our community is very hard for people to mesh together.
GLBT community in general, I think.
We get oftentimes rejected. I mean, myself included. I was told by my brother that I should not be a Christian because I'm in the LGBT community. That simply being in the LGBT community, that it wasn't right for me to be a Christian.
That almost seemed like, you know,
which
in his words, he made you were the enemy,
which
yeah.
goes totally against a lot of their teachings. I mean, you know, a lot of times...
I totally agree with that, but this is the statements that are being perpetrated by people within...
His church,
his community, and they're basically telling him that people in the LGBT are not worthy of being within the church.
Well, see, I was once told by somebody who used to be extremely close to me, I'm not going to go any more detail on that, after I came out to my children of the fact that I had always felt like I was a girl... this person didn't just say that I was going to hell, or she didn't tell me to go to hell.
Was it a conjoined twin?
What's that?
Was it a conjoined twin?
No.
Someone very close to you?
But, you know,
it's a joke.
I know, but in the Bible it talks about two becoming one flesh.
Yes.
So it kind of is a conjoined twin, if you think about it that way. But, didn't tell me I was going to hell, or tell me to go to hell. This person told me that I was so deep in the depths of hell I couldn't even see. It's like, oh, thank you. No, I don't think so. So basically, by being honest.
Sounds very dark.
Yeah.
But,
really,
you know, there's
really
fire
scary.
There, so...
Is that where, like,
how's that work?
George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic is? Because I hear that they have, like, really good shows.
Cool. No, I don't think so.
What about, like, you know, like Guns N' Roses and, you know, Metallica?
That's all devil music. I found that out from... Actually, from the church in Lovington, New Mexico.
If you want to get on rock music, I have a really good story. I was at one of the most fundamentalist Christian universities in the U.S. when I was first starting college. I got kicked out. I withdrew at request of administration from there. But I was once in one of their freshman orientation classes, and they had somebody up there speaking against rock music. And the person's up there speaking, and they make a statement that statistics show that, I don't even remember what percentage it is, but... You know, like 70% of young girls who get pregnant while listening to rock music. Well, I turned to the girl sitting next to me, and I said, I didn't know I could do that. in a loud enough whisper so everybody heard. I don't think they ever figured out why that whole section was laughing. I mean, think of the stupidity of that statement right on the surface. No, they didn't get pregnant listening to rock music. They got pregnant because they were getting screwed by somebody.
Right.
There has to be like the exchange of bodily fluids, and rock music just doesn't.
They're like, wow. Rock music can immaculate conception women.
I know.
Rock music must be really powerful.
It's really cool and powerful and, like, so, you know.
I just love it when people bring up statistics like that and, like, because, you know, 70% of statistics can be, are actually
made up on the spot.
And 50% of those statistics can be manipulated to say whatever you want. So
no, I would say 100% of those are manipulated to say whatever you want.
One more. I'm getting us on track. One more thing.
On track? What do you mean?
That's what I did.
I thought this was transponder.
We
no, this train wreck is on track. That's like train, tranny, whatever. Right.
Well, whatever. One other thing is, I want is how the LGBT community differs. Because one thing I noticed, smaller communities or areas where the LGBT is even more of a minority. It doesn't matter if you're gay, lesbian, trans, bi, whatever. It's like, you know, when allies are scarce, there's a lot more of the close-knit group. And I know you're talking about, like, you know, having connections with the lesbian community and stuff like that. And I found, like, the bigger, you know, the bigger the pond, the more all the different...
It's amazing how fish kind of like group in the big ponds.
Yeah,
right. Where they mingle in the smaller ponds.
And coming from small town California, this is something we found when, you know,
yeah, small town California difference is when very diverse.
Even when we just go to Sacramento, which was an hour away, it was very different environment.
Very segregated.
Well, for me to find a trans support group, I had to go at first all the way to, you know, basically 2.5 hours away to Nashville.
Yeah, this is not uncommon either.
And,
sadly.
Sooner or later, though, I started connecting with the community where I'm at. And I found that, for instance, Chattanooga Pride, and yes, I've outed myself a bit more. You guys are narrowing down on where I came from, where I live.
Well, but, you don't have to necessarily...
No, that's fine. No, I'm totally ready for this. Okay. That's not a big deal. But, Chattanooga Pride itself, which is largely, you know, it's mostly it has a lot of gay men, you know, some lesbian women and stuff like that, is so strongly supporting the start of a trans support group in that area. It's just wonderful. I am so impressed and all that. But so I do think in a smaller community, we have to be banding together. Now, sooner or later, what's going to happen is I don't think the smaller community has a smaller percentage of gay people. Or lesbians,
right?
Or trans people.
It's the same percentage. It's just
it's a smaller out group,
right?
And I think as more of us come out, as more of us send support and move forward with who we really are, maybe eventually we'll get to the San Francisco thing of having a instead of a GLBT bar, having a G bar and a
L bar
and
right.
an LT bar or whatever.
And you know that's. I don't know. I guess, like, having come out in such a small community is I like that small community. It's like it felt so much more close-knit. It's like they're an ally as an ally, and you support them, and they support you, and it's like, okay, trans people, yeah, we're lesbians. Come over to our house, and, you know, we're having... You
a
know,
barbecue, or
we're
whatever.
Having a barbecue, or whatever, and it
been there.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome.
But you get out into the big cities, and it's like, oh well, you're looking for the trans support group.
This is, you're looking for the yeah. This is a gay bar, or this is a lesbian bar. We don't allow non-native women.
What are you doing here?
Oh, yeah, you just get the looks like, why are they in our bar?
Right.
See, I think that the
it wasn't necessarily overt hostility.
Nothing hostile.
No,
but
like,
yeah, but
you know,
it's like
here.
Yeah, but the smaller community just felt like they were happy you were there.
See, I think the big cities have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
From the small towns because that's where life really happens.
Yeah.
As far as being able to have a community.
I think it's almost, there's a lot of self-segregation, too, that happens.
Middle America, you know?
If you think about a community, is everybody in a community the same?
No.
A normal community has diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to have this homogeneity,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this heterogeneity in our GLBT community?
And this is something I mentioned on the podcast we did the other night, which is not yet up, but I said, those who make like diverse connections have more longevity. And it's like, cool. I see, like, you know, like some of the, like, the more homogeneous groups, those are the ones that die out.
Right.
We'll see, you know, long term what happens, but yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to, like, you know, find themselves very alone after a while.
You know, in all of the groups... Oh, Gina just got the remote.
Okay, yeah.
Got it.
I put it down just to see
Gina,
who would get it first, Jana or Mila.
It was me, Jana.
And Mila was looking at it longingly, but
because
she's referred to Jana.
I know that I've lost.
She knows how much the person she loves needs it.
She?
Yeah.
She is... she's beaten and broken. Let's just... say it. She's beaten and broken.
Yes, I have been beaten by the vote on the Yahoo group.
And Jana wins.
But you have to remember, the majority is not always right.
But, you know, when you live in...
The majority voted for George Bush. No, they didn't, but oh well.
But close enough.
The fact that anybody voted for George Bush just amazes me, but, you know, hey...
Close enough to make up the rest.
People have complained about political, so, you know, let's stay out of that. We've already done the religious thing for too long. Okay, we have political, we can do that for a little bit, we can do sex, but, you know, we've gotten enough of the controversial subjects out here.
Oh, we love controversy.
Controversy's fine.
Controversy's fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of controversy, or maybe completely off topic, Lone Gunman... television
yes.
show. Totally want to talk about this.
Really, well, I picked up Lone Gunman from Best Buy because it was, like, you know, really cheap. It was the entire season, which was a spinoff show over the X-Files with all the geeky guys that had, like, their own conspiracy newspaper.
Yes, those goofy guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I, like, remember seeing the show, like, and I liked it better than X-Files. Yeah.
They were totally awesome.
And, like, they're, you know, they're all kind of homely.
Like
and
us.
But I was like, I love them.
But...
yeah.
And, you know, they were, like, kind of endearing.
Well,
we were watching it.
Yeah, and we're getting through, you know, all the whole season. We're watching every episode. Of course, we didn't realize they were double-sided, so we missed about half of
them. We didn't realize they were double-sided DVD. We do now.
We do now.
Because I was, like, looking for the episode I remember
who
the most.
Who flips DVDs
which
anyway?
Was the water-powered car.
Yeah, what's up with flipping the DVDs? Anyway.
What the heck is that?
So, but we get to this episode, and this episode goes around.
We have a trans episode, and remember this was from like 2001, so this is like 7 years ago. It was totally positive. It was fantastic.
That basically this guy.
No wonder the show
and
didn't
it's not,
make it. No wonder the show didn't make it. They were positive about trans
exactly.
people. Okay.
Yeah. So the basic storyline goes that there's some girl is, you know, missing, and.
No.
Or not missing.
A guy's reportedly dead. It's one of the lone gunman's former roommate in college.
Right, right.
And you kind of think like almost like, wait, was there a gay thing going on?
Right.
And you know he meets up with her sister. And
there's all kinds of silence around this. Like you know he doesn't want to talk about what's going on.
He's obviously holding something back.
Right.
You know,
very
you're like wondering, off. And they kind of like play in the gay angle. Was there something going on between them? Was there a gay relationship?
Right.
No.
Well, then he slips up.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I'm really worried about him. And it's like, well, wait a second. Who's this him that we're talking about? And, of course, this other character goes, oh, they don't know, do they? You know.
Essentially, the sister is the roommate and used to be a guy.
Okay.
The sister is trans. And he didn't tell them,
right?
Because he was keeping
her
the privacy,
secret. Right? And of course, you know, the initial reaction is, "Oh, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you the truth about this," and blah blah.
And then he turns around and he goes, you know what? No, I'm not sorry that I didn't tell you, because everyone deserves their privacy. And it was just this, like, this sudden turn from being this kind of like, oh, well, it's this thing that shouldn't have been kept secret and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, this person has a total right to have privacy about their trans issues. And one of the other guys in the room goes,
basically, you know, he's saying that's none of your
business.
Right? This person's trans, and it's completely off topic of what's going on.
Right, so. It has nothing to do with anything.
But it's cool.
And one of the people in the room goes, well, I think she's hot. And then they ask somebody else in the room, and they're like, yeah, we totally knew that she was trans, so what? Like,
he goes, yeah, we knew.
We knew. Like,
but, you know, don't you see that spectrum of reactions in the real world?
You do see it.
There are people who say, we knew, and no big deal. There are other people who say, I didn't know, but she's hot. You know, you get all that.
Yeah, this one of the guys is like, I don't care, she's hot.
Yeah, that was, like, the best, I thought the best
reaction. That's cool. It's like, he, like, takes her as female, so... It's like, yeah. Who cares?
And I noticed that everybody else in the room, this is a little bit unlike reality, because in reality, as soon as somebody finds out that somebody's trans, a lot of times people start bantering the wrong pronouns around.
Well,
on the show,
yeah.
They really kept it the correct pronouns for anyone who knew her as she, and the only person that kind of screwed up on pronouns was
the one who knew
before. Was the one who knew him.
And I kind of thought that was pretty
accurate.
Well, you know what? Once you have somebody in a box,
then right.
If you go with Julia Serrano, you know, just the whole theory that goes into Whipping Girl and all that, people are gendered as the first thing that happens as soon as somebody looks at them.
Yeah. Well, this actually is.
But it was cool.
The brain thing that goes
so
along
positive.
With this.
Yeah.
Right. There are actually two different sections of the brain. One that stores the person's physical image and your, like, your name information and all that, mm-hmm. and one that stores, like, your personal connection to the person.
Yes.
Right? And so what you have happening is that personal connection is still there, right? And you're changing this other file that has their name and gender information, right? And so every once in a while that's misdirected to the old file. You know, somebody's going in there and they're like, okay, I know the personal connection, and I'm going to look at this other file up based on that, and they get the wrong one.
But it's so easy to get offended by somebody who slips up. But if it's an honest slip up, it doesn't bother you as much as somebody who's obviously just trying to.
Right. Well, I mean, you know,
control this, you by keeping you in a certain box.
In the case of this character,
it was a slip up.
He was very respectful.
Very respectful.
So
yes.
It was like, you know what I mean? It's more permissible. So. Like, I kind of, like, wonder, like, my friend Scott, like, sometimes I feel like he's relating to me as a female. Other times, like, I feel like, I don't know. Is he?
Well, see, I think some people have you so strongly in a box because they knew you before that they can't quite fit you into that other box.
Right.
So you're kind of, like, out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
They still love you. They still respect you. They still support you.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can't move you into that F-box.
Yeah, and I kind of, you know...
Or vice versa.
Yeah, which is why you saw a lot of early... You know, in the early days of people transitioning, you saw completely stripping their friends and getting new ones because they didn't want to have to deal with that.
They were told to do this by their
Yeah, they were
therapists.
Told by their therapists, and, you know... And it was, like, almost mandatory. In their
move to another town.
By their gatekeepers, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was told that, too.
Were you?
By,
that's like old school stuff.
I know, yeah. But this was in conservative Tennessee, and it wasn't.
They're probably still
own,
reading the old school stuff.
It wasn't by my own therapist. It was by a therapist who was supposedly trying to protect my children.
Hmm.
So
yeah, you know, I hate those because you know your children are not the ones that are affected. It's much more
it's
your ex-spouse.
It's a projection of the adults on the children.
Yeah, the children are usually really, especially like younger children. Don't have much problem with
I can't
it.
Talk too much about this because there's still legal issues going on.
Well, let's not get too far.
Okay, but one thing I do want to talk about is Julia Serrano, since you just brought her up.
She's
you're
awesome.
Actually, she's awesome. You have been loaning your copy around the lesbian community, and they all love it.
Everyone who has looked
awesome.
At it and read it is like, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, I think that there's a couple things. It's almost like...
I think she, like, breaks down, like, all the issues.
There's two things you can do with
so
your book.
Well.
reject it or read it and let your mind be open.
Yeah.
Period.
You know, it's, and she writes in such a way, it's hard to just, like, I don't know, if I think if I were a lesbian that, like...
You are a lesbian, Jaina. Okay.
Okay.
Racist,
if I were not a bisexual lesbian...
Trans person thing.
I don't know. She writes in such a way... I mean, she communicates her ideas. She really just breaks down... You know what I mean?
Very the well issue. Organized. Very...
Yeah.
Very...
So yes. Well organized and so well constructed arguments.
No, yeah. My lesbian friends that have read it, if, like, you know, one of them's in college... And it's taken, you know, she's an engineer, but she's taken some women's studies courses and stuff. And she was pretty interested in it. And then another one who's her partner has basically gotten engrossed in it. And, you know, this woman is, you know, she's a butch lesbian. She's a very strong person.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes through and reads it and it's like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't put it down. And I really couldn't.
I had a different experience with it. I had to put it down. I would read two chapters, and I would have to think through them, puzzle through them, realign the way I thought with the logic that was in the book, and then I could pick it back up again.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's interesting. I couldn't stop reading it. I may actually read it again.
I think a lot of her thoughts were
more.
We were already pondering these particular
transpondering.
We were transpondering these things. Already, and so picking it up was more of not looking at her arguments and saying, well, how does she mean these things? It was just like picking them up and going, wow, she just plucked that right out of my brain, didn't she?
And put it together so much better than I could.
Right. She made my thoughts more eloquent than I could ever put them. But yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was very interesting to read stuff and go, wow, that's exactly the kind of things we've been talking about.
You know, the thing, too, is that, like, just reading her stuff made me feel more empowered. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It made you embrace the L word.
Absolutely. LT word.
We need more empowerment in our community, and I think that Julia Serrano is definitely bringing that to a lot of people.
Well, the empowerment has to come from within, but there can be a light shine to show you the path to it.
That's...
Yeah,
well,
I agree with that.
That's well said. Yeah.
Nobody can empower you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree. Strength comes from within, but you know what? You can always find inspiration.
And education.
Yes.
Education is so much key to empowerment, and Julia does it so well.
So. Education is so much key to the transgender experience.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And also knowing that you're not alone. Which is why I think it's awesome that you're here in Las Vegas for the podcasting expo. Or
she's actually here for work, but...
For work, right.
Just the fact that we are building community as we speak.
Yeah. And thank you so much for joining us on this little impromptu transponder.
Thank you so much for sharing your time with me. I really appreciate it. I mean,
give our regards to all the girls and back home.
In Tennessee.
Tennessee. I didn't want to say it without you saying it. Yes.
So all right.
We know several of them from the Yahoo group and in general, so...
Yep.
Give them our regards.
And they basically wanted me to take home a case of awesome sauce. And I think we can send it to them over the podcast.
Yeah, we'll send them a digital version.
With no MSG.
No MSG.
Oh, yeah.
I love that comment.
No MSG.
Keep your MSG off my forum. Right.
Yes. It was funny. And I'm sorry. You know, it was one of those things that, like, I started laughing, but I didn't really have a response because it was funny.
Right.
I tend to do that. I tend to put out comments there, and then people just get quiet, so...
No, I think people are laughing. They don't, just don't know what
laughing.
To say.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you say to that?
Yes, but I'm a paranoid trans chick, okay? You know,
isn't that what some therapists used to say? It's like, well, you should be careful, the trans women become paranoid.
Oh, yes. Well, let's not go there. Enough said for the night. We need to kind of close this off, I guess, because Mila is doing, like, this thing with her hands. Well, looks like she's traveling in basketball.
Oh, yeah, we're going to... Yeah, we only got,
only got 5 minutes left on our recorder, so...
Okay. We don't have any mail. No Mila's mailbag.
No Mila's mailbag. And but we do want to say, join us on the message forum. Discuss the all of your trans woes and episode experiences and happy success stories and great pictures. And, yeah, have lots of fun.
Yeah.
Join us. Leave us a message on the voicemail system. 320-323-1896. Brick sandwiches.
Brick sandwiches. Brick sandwiches.
Brick sandwiches. That's all there is to it.
Or send us an email at mail, the number 2, females.
That's M-A-I-L.
M-A-I-L. At trans-ponder.com. Find us on the web, www.trans-ponder.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hi, my name's Tiffany, and I'm new to the community. But I really like your podcast, Transponder, Transgender Life in the Trenches. I heard that a bunch of other fans were writing songs about you guys, and I thought I'd come along and do the same. So, you'll notice this isn't played with real instruments, and that's because it's hard to play guitar with nails. I mean, I'm sure you girls know, right? Okay, here we go. Highly original, stealing hearts like a criminal, super sexy. Smart and strong, they've got an audio blog. Thank God this theme song isn't that long. There's Jaina and Mila and Jaina and Mila and Jaina and Mila and Jaina. There's Mila and Jaina and Jaina and Mila and Mila and Jaina and Mila and Jaina. Yeah, I hope you guys like that.
This program is a member of the TransFM Internet Broadcast Network. TransFM.org.
Thank you for listening to TransPonder.
You can find us on the web at www.trans-ponder.com.
Leave us a voicemail at 320-323-1896. Brick sandwiches.
Join the Yahoo group and get in on the discussion.
Or send us an email.
We are not lawyers, so no part of this show should be considered legal advice.
We are not doctors, so please consult yours before considering any medical procedure.
The opinions stated on TransPonder are not necessarily that of our sponsors, broadcast partners, or other organizations.
Our opinions are just that, opinions.
Music is graciously provided by the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
Thanks for listening.
And good night.